What's up? I'm Amanda Costco, and you're listening to the Electric Runway Podcast, a podcast exploring the intersection of fashion and technology. Thanks so much for tuning in. Today we have a very special show for you. We're rounding up New York Fashion Week from a fashion tech perspective, and we have an amazing guest to help give you some expert insight. Liza Kindred is the founder of Third Wave Fashion, a New York-based fashion tech think tank that helps fashion and technology companies work together. In addition to fostering community and collaboration within the fashion tech space, Third Wave Fashion also produces a beautiful print magazine on the future of fashion, covering the latest startups, designers, and apps that you need to know about. If you're not already a subscriber, I highly recommend it. You can check them out at thirdwavefashion.com, and of course, we'll put up the link on Electric Runway so you can take a look. We have so much to get into in this episode, so I'm going to keep my intro brief, but what you're about to hear is my back and forth with Liza as she provides some perspective on all of the hype you've been hearing about from New York Fashion Week. From wearables on the runway to the influence of Snapchat to see now, buy now runway collections, we're covering it all. It's a jam-packed episode, and it starts right now. So Liza, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
So for those in fashion tech living under a rock who don't know who you are and what it is that you do, can you introduce yourself for us and explain what Third Wave Fashion is?
Yeah. So my name is Liza Kindred, and Third Wave Fashion has been my business for the past 5.5 or so years. And we call Third Wave Fashion a fashion tech think tank, which is kind of a phrase we made up to describe what we do, which is sometimes consulting and it's sometimes thought leadership. And sometimes we write commissioned white papers and we work on events. But what we really focus on primarily is where fashion, the worlds of fashion and technology are coming together and what kind of interesting things are happening there.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you said we made up the word to describe what we do, because I just had Maddie Maxey on the program a couple weeks ago, and I asked her about a certain term that she used to describe her work, and she said basically the same thing, like there is no language for talking about this new space, and so I just basically made up this phrase for this process that I'm doing to the fabric, you know, and she made this point as well. It's really indicative of the space that we're in and how new it is. And so one of your kind of quarterly pieces, is it quarterly that you put out?
Let's call it semi-quarterly.
Semi-quarterly.
Yes, in theory.
So one of the kind of milestones of Third Wave Fashion is, of course, the magazine that you put out. And I was lucky enough to be a part of the last edition that just went out to subscribers. And
yeah, print magazine. We're so proud of it. Beautiful.
It is beautiful.
So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's about 100 pages, if not more.
Yeah, it's usually more, and there's no advertising. So that's all content, and it's all original photography and original writing, and everything is done just for that issue.
Yeah, and it's all focused on this great intersection of fashion and technology. So obviously very relevant to the Electric Runway audience. So if you're not already subscribing to Third Wave Fashion Magazine, you need to subscribe and start getting this magazine, because it's a beautiful physical way of engaging with fashion tech in our digital world. So
thanks. Yeah. I mean, one of the things about fashion is that even as much as we're going to talk today about how fashion is merging with the world of digital and the world of technology, it's still something that's physical. It's still something we touch and feel. And so I like to touch and feel things. And so putting out a print magazine for us was a way to do that, to actually have something that people can have in their hands. And it's on beautiful paper and people can refer back to it and share it and actually have ownership of it. And not just, you know, scroll through a page while you're drinking your coffee and petting your dog.
Yeah, it's something you can really sit with and spend time with. And that's, I really appreciate it. And I always find that despite the lead times in print, it's still so on point with what's going on in the world of fashion tech. So that's something
thanks.
I appreciated about it. Okay, so today we're going to talk about New York Fashion Week, but specifically we're going to hone in on some of the fashion tech at New York Fashion Week. But I wanted to maybe just first take a step back and talk about what it's like to be in New York City during a fashion week.
Okay, so this fashion week was the first time since I have been going to fashion weeks, which has been about 6 or 7 years, that I didn't go.
Okay.
I didn't go to anything. And, you know, it's interesting because I was in a meeting last week with someone who was coming from the mayor's office, and he was saying, thanks for coming in. It must be really crazy with Fashion Week. And I was saying to him, it is not for people like me anymore. And it's certainly not for the buyers, the wholesale buyers of fashion anymore. I think it's a mark of how much things have changed, that it no longer feels that it is in any way necessary for people that are working within the industry to be a part of the actual events.
Wow, that's really interesting. And so if it's not for the people who are in the industry, like the buyers and like the thought leaders, who is it for?
Yeah, so one of the things that I like about what's happening, kind of happened this time with New York Fashion Week, is that I felt for the first time it was honest about what the answer to that question is. And the answer to that question is that it's for consumers. It is purely marketing at this point. And for the past few years, and especially for the past few seasons, there's been a little bit of a struggle going back and forth. Who is this for? Is it for buyers anymore? Is it for stores? And this year, for the first time, the answer is no, it's not for the industry. It is for marketing and reasons, and it's for consumers.
Yeah, and it's interesting because digital plays such a role in how Fashion Week has had to change and evolve. I think it was the style editor of the New York Times who wrote an article, and it was basically talking about how the mobile phone completely just blew apart Fashion Week, because now instead of the collections being displayed on the runway for buyers, for that small group of people who would then act as the gatekeepers to the general public, the smartphone has allowed things to go from the runway to the public in, you know, seconds. And that has changed the whole consumption model.
It really has. And it even changed the experience within the shows. So it was a few years ago. I mean, the shows were, I still want to say in the tents, but they haven't been in the tents for a long time. But they were, up until this past Fashion Week, or past year rather, really concentrated on at Lincoln Center, in a physical place in New York City. And what happened is that the experience of being in those shows became one of, okay, I'm watching this fashion coming down the runway. And it became an experience of like, okay, there are so many screens in front of my face in between me here, you know, unless you're in the front row, in which case it's still full of screens.
Yeah.
But it's just like a glow of like everyone trying to take the fastest pictures, you know, without it being blurry. And it's like a step removed, even inside the room.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I was watching a video from one of the runway shows, and that was one of the major things that I noticed. And it's funny because as phones get bigger and phone cases get quirkier, you're seeing, like, I don't know if you've seen the silicone Windex bottle phone case.
Funny ears.
Yeah. So I saw one of those go up at the runway show, and I'm just thinking, what do these designers think? They put so much thought and care into every detail of their show, and then the camera is basically obscured with these, bunny ears and middle finger emojis. And
isn't that funny? I mean, I think there's really something to that, that even when you're physically in the room, you're removed from the experience by the very virtue of the fact that the people within the room are trained to share the experience with people that are outside of the room. And so it's kind of flipped on its head, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It is flipped on its head. And it's also, I think that you now, if you are at a runway show, whether or not you're in the front seat or back seat, like, you almost feel this obligation to document it and to share it, because you feel like, well, I'm lucky enough to be here in this front row, and there are people who probably want to see this, and I want to, you know, document like my own personal experience being here, but also share it with other people, because we've become such a culture of documenting and sharing. And so, of course,
I think you're being pretty generous.
Really?
I think for some people, the motivation is probably pure like that. Like, this is beautiful and I want to share it. But right. I think the vast majority of the time, it's like, I'm here.
The see and be seen sort of idea.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. Well, if you didn't take a picture, it didn't happen, Liza.
Exactly.
So that's really interesting how the smartphones kind of infiltrated the runway. And today, as we talk about fashion tech at New York Fashion Week, I thought it would be helpful to divide our conversation into three kind of separate but related categories. And the way I was thinking around this was talking first about digital marketing, which is part of the conversation that we were just having. The second thing would be talking about retail and runway experiences, because those are evolving. And then finally, we'll talk about wearables a little. So does that sound good?
That sounds awesome.
Okay.
Let's chat.
All right. So with digital marketing, we've touched on this a little bit, like digital media, like Instagram and Snapchat are totally changing things. And part of that article that I mentioned earlier was not just the fact that the cell phones are there, but the sort of image fatigue that comes with a fashion week. So by the time something is hitting the store shelves, people are like, oh yeah, I'm kind of bored of seeing that. Why would I buy it sort of thing?
Yes.
So a lot of designers have decided to forego the whole runway experience, and instead they're releasing collections that are available to buy right away via channels like Snapchat. So I wanted to ask, what did you think about Misha Nono forgoing the traditional runway show and opting to reveal her lookbook on Snapchat?
Well, I think, again, that was very honest, because what she's doing there, she's not missing out on any sales. She's not missing out on any wholesale sales, rather. Because New York Fashion Week has become such a marketing tool, she went directly to the consumers and she's doing direct marketing. She made that move. I think it's smart. I think it's interesting. I don't think it's something necessarily that a lot of people are going to follow. I think a lot of these changes and a lot of these projects that people are doing, different partnerships, trying out different technologies, they're not going to change the direction of the industry towards that one specific thing. So what we're not going to see is that all of a sudden the only place that you can see Fashion Week is through people releasing their lookbooks on Snapchat or something like that. But what we are seeing is that people are trying so many different ways, or testing out such a variety of ways to get their information to the consumer. And by nature of what happens with the buzz around New York Fashion Week, it's going to have to change and be kind of new and different every time. And so there's a lot of brands, both from a technology perspective and from the fashion perspective, that are doing these partnerships or are kind of doing these test marketing events with no intention really of moving in that direction in the long run. And in a lot of ways, it really is a press play. You know, how many people would have looked at Misha Nono's lookbook if it hadn't been on Snapchat and gotten a lot of press because of that? So, I think that the act itself is interesting, but I think the fact that it's indicative of this bigger direction about we have to try new technologies, not just have beautiful clothes and have innovative things on the runway, but the way that we present them from the runway also has to be new and innovative. Which is something that I think matters a lot, because that's a huge change.
Yeah. And you and I were talking before we recorded about the Desigual runway show, and they did a traditional runway show, but of course the makeup of the models were these like faithfully recreated Snapchat filters, which I thought was like really playful and a kind of nod to this digital revolution that's happening. And it seems to me that there is more of a lighthearted, open approach to digital and to technology. I think that in years past, and I've never been to New York Fashion Week, so this is from a distance I've been observing it. In years past, it seems that there has been this kind of anxiety towards technology and this uncertainty about the changes that it's going to bring. And this year, it seems like, dare I say it, a breath of fresh air. And there's many different brands, from Burberry to Tommy Hilfiger, trying new things and innovating without, I mean, it seems that anxiety is sort of going away. Would you agree with that, or do you think it's still there?
I think the anxiety has changed, because I think the anxiety now is about having to find new and interesting things to do in the digital world and the world of technology. So I think it's almost, there's in some ways around New York Fashion Week, this sense of desperation. And it comes from the designers and the brands, and it comes from the consumers also too, like desperate to be in the front row, desperate to get invited to a brand, desperate to be the first person to post something. And in the same way, we're seeing that a lot of brands and businesses are starting to feel nervous about having to also tackle technology, either by having it within something on the runway, usually, you know, wearable accessories, something like that, or in the way that they're showing it. But I do think that what we're also seeing is that a lot of people who are digital natives are starting to come up through the ranks at fashion brands, and designers, in fact, sometimes these days are, you know, young enough to be digital natives. And so we're seeing that the whole way that they're approaching it is changing. I mean, I agree with you that kind of playfulness is there, but I think that it also kind of goes along with this anxiety about, okay, now we also have to figure this other thing out too.
Yeah. And so it's not just like we need to have something that incorporates technology on the runway, but we need to iterate that in VR, in Snapchat, on Instagram. It's like there's more ground to cover, certainly.
There is. And this idea of like we have to be the first one to do it. Mm-hmm. And so what we're seeing is there's some companies. So Intel was the official technology partner with New York Fashion Week, and they had kind of a lot of different things that they did. They did front end, back end, wearables, all that stuff. And what we're seeing is that a lot of these small brands are now like, okay, I have to have a technology partner too. You know, I have to kind of do this extra thing. And it can be really exciting and it can be really fun for consumers, but it's a lot.
Yeah, especially if you're a traditional label or if you're a traditional brand, but I suppose it's good for, you know, third wave fashion, of course, because then people are going to be coming to you and saying, like, you know, where do partnerships make sense? And there's room for innovation there, because I think that before, or, you know, at the same time that this conversation of digital disruption was happening, there was a conversation that the current model isn't working for the fashion industry. So it's like technology has come along and now it's, I don't know, maybe posed to innovate it. I'm optimistic about it. Are you optimistic about it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm optimistic about it, particularly because I see this new sense of honesty about kind of, you know, like I said several times already about calling Fashion Week what it is and calling it a marketing play. And so I do feel a sense of optimism about, okay, cool. Now that I feel like that is mostly settled, although I have pulled up here the Women's Wear Daily headline from today. Mm-hmm. That says, quote, see now, buy now, fractures industry. So, wow, you know, I feel settled, kind of this old school industry Bible is saying, and the article itself is not that hyperbolic, but the, you know, the headline, see now, buy now, fractures industry, really shows that there are people that are nervous about the direction that things are going in. And I have to say too, we for many years have recommended with our clients that they actually don't do things with New York Fashion Week because the barrier for entry is so high and there's so many things that are going on. It can be very hard to compete with that, especially in a meaningful way. And so I think it's very interesting, but I don't necessarily know that people need to feel bad if they're not doing something that's like over the top, crazy, interesting, buzzy during Fashion Week.
Yeah, especially if they have a limited budget. I want to get into the see now, buy now in a second, in the second category when we talk about retail and runway experiences. But along the same vein of digital marketing, there was a couple other things I wanted to mention. Ted Baker released this shoppable film produced by Guy Ritchie. Did you see this?
I did, yeah. So it's fun.
It was super fun and hilarious. And of course, the characters are, you know, witty, and the shopping experience itself is even witty. So basically, for people who haven't seen it, we'll put the link up on Electric Runway. It's this video and it's kind of like this spy versus spy kind of aesthetic. And I don't know, it felt like a sort of like whodunit video to me, where there's this mystery unraveling and all of
the viewer kind of at the center of it.
Yes. And all of the items that are in the video, the clothing, the hats, and the dresses and things like that, they can be clicked on to be added to your cart without interrupting the viewing experience. So the purse or the handbag or whatever it was kind of becomes a character as well. Yeah, I thought it was a super, like, I didn't see anyone else doing anything like that. It was a really interesting marriage of content and commerce. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, shoppable video is so tough and people have tried it for so many ways. And I really like that now it's possible to engage with shoppable video without actually pausing the experience, because for so long it was, if you actually clicked on something, it would stop the video and take you to a different browser window, which was just crazy. So I like that. I feel like it's becoming more seamless. And I also really like that they're like focusing on this other way of getting the message across. And I thought it was delightful. It's worth a watch.
It's and it's nice that it's something people can experience without having to be in New York. They can, you know, find it on YouTube and get it. You know what I mean? Like, it's very accessible.
It was worth watching. It reminded me in some ways of the video series that Kate Spade has been doing, which is also just so fun to watch, where even if you're not necessarily in a shopping mood, it's such pure entertainment and done so well that it's just a delight.
Yeah, that's a really good parallel. So final piece of digital marketing that I wanted to talk about in terms of fashion tech at New York Fashion Week was Refinery 29's Fashion Week installation made for Instagram. This was really interesting. So they converted, I don't know how many, like thousands of square feet into these different rooms. And the rooms were sponsored by different brands and partnerships. And people from the public were invited to kind of wander around and experience this installation. But the reason I say it was made for Instagram is because it was completely made for Instagram and for capturing those experiences.
It's interesting in that it's like, again, we were saying, you know, if you didn't take a picture, you weren't there. But I don't even think that they were pretending it was for anything other than for Instagram. You know, obviously they had their partners and their sponsors and advertisers that got the buzz, but it was literally like, come here, take pictures, put them on Instagram.
Yeah.
That was the whole point of it. There wasn't another point. And it was so well done. It was like beautiful and it was really poppy. And, you know, a lot of people went, a lot of people posted pictures. I'm curious. I don't know what their goals were for that. I have to imagine it was, they were a little esoteric, but it was fun to watch. It'll be interesting to see if it's repeated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember at CES, Refinery 29 had a loft they converted into this experience. They're getting good at drawing, I guess, the right people in to take pictures and amplify their brand. So, I mean, if that is their goal, they're definitely doing a good job. I would...
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, I'd like to go see the installation if I was in New York, just from a, you know, a marketing perspective.
Yeah. And I think what that speaks to is kind of this bigger trend of what we've thought of traditionally as fashion publishers really focusing on technology. For many years now, what we've seen from an industry perspective is that there is actual dollars that have been moving from fashion to technology, where people have money that they would have spent on clothing in the past, and they're spending it on a new phone or a new gadget, a new watch or something like that. And so for companies like Refinery 29 and other companies that are starting to cover technology in a really integral way, that's really indicative of this larger trend of the two things being in some ways interchangeable.
Yeah. And I think I've always thought of Refinery 29 as, you know, making that parallel. So yeah, really cool stunt from them. So I want to talk about retail and runway experiences. We mentioned the see now, buy now model. So for those who don't know, maybe you can explain it. What does this mean and how is it different than the way things were traditionally done?
Well, essentially, the traditional way of doing things is that when, for instance, so we're in September 2016 right now, and the shows were called the Spring Summer 17 shows. So traditionally, what would happen is that the clothes that are shown on the runways right now would be viewed by buyers, wholesale buyers, who would place their orders now, and then the goods would be manufactured months down the road, and then they would be shipped, and they would be coming into stores for spring and summer 2017. So roughly 6-month-ish lead time from when the time that things are shown on the runways to when they're showing up in stores. And so what's happened is that as New York Fashion Week has become less of a wholesale event and more of a marketing play, people want the clothes. There is this fatigue that you were talking about earlier, where if someone sees a picture of something all over their Instagram or their Snapchat or whatever else for months, and then they see it in the fashion magazines a few months later, then by the time it's in a store, it ends up feeling old and stale and not something you'd want to pay full price for, frankly, or, you know, maybe not wear at all. And so what's happened is that a lot of retailers, not all, there is fracture in the industry in some ways, a lot of retailers have started at least trying to show clothes on the runways that can be purchased now, so that because consumers are seeing the shows, they want to be buying stuff right then and there. And so people are trying. That's the direction that we're moving in. We're not 100% there yet. There's still some holdouts, but people are trying a bunch of different ways of doing it. And we are having a little bit of chaos right now as people are figuring out the best ways to do it, but that's definitely what's happening and what we'll be looking back on in a couple of years. But people are trying all sorts of different things. So some people are having pop-up truck outside the show that people can go shop on. There's websites like My Teresa that are making it available, where if you're on your computer watching the shows, you can also go on your computer and then buy the clothes. And people are all trying these different ways of making it available for people.
Yeah. And you mentioned that there's some up and coming designers that are digital natives themselves that are really doing some, you know, new models of runway shows, one of them being Rebecca Minkoff. But then you have older brands like Burberry testing this out as well. So any idea or word on the sort of impact of that? I know the Rebecca Minkoff show was like a runway show outside of the store, and then you could actually go into the store right after to shop.
Right. Yeah. And I have to say, Women's Wear Daily is doing a really interesting thing where every day they're taking a look at how it actually worked. And, you know, do people really have the clothes that they say they have? And frankly, it's working okay.
Yeah.
We're at the beginning, so a lot has to be forgiven. But what was your question?
No, I wanted to get your general sense of how it was working. I did see that series that Women's Wear Daily was doing, and it is interesting, you know, kind of calling out the see now, buy now, seeing if it actually does work. Because I can imagine how difficult it would be to implement that? I mean, you have this whole runway show that you have to prepare. And as you know, people who have both curated runway experiences, you know, and I know how much work goes into that. But then you've got to manufacture the pieces and have them available right there in store. It seems impossible.
Yeah. And so what's happened is actually a little bit of sleight of hand. And so the wholesale buyers are actually looking at the clothes that we're seeing on the runways months in advance of them being on the runways. And so it's kind of the same thing that's always happened is happening. It's just happening behind the scenes. Although that will start to change as the back end technologies and the way that our factories are structured start to change enough that things can be delivered faster. And some of the most interesting people that are doing things in fashion tech today are doing things behind the scenes, which is not this kind of really popular, like wearables, AR, VR, chatbots, you know, like whatever's the technology trend of the moment, but people that are actually changing the industry from the back end with factories and shipping times and using big data and really kind of changing the way things work. As that happens, it will become easier for companies to offer see now, buy now in a real way. But as we are right now, there's just, like I said, a little bit of sleight of hand to make it look like that's what's happening.
Yeah. And so as a recap to Tankoon's show, Vogue writer Susie Menkes wrote that, this is a quote from her, the message was that the designers currently showing spring-summer 2017 collections during this New York Fashion Week, meaning, you know, September 2016, as you were mentioning, will be the last generation of traditional retail. Do you agree with that?
I do. I really do. It feels different this time. I think that we've reached the tipping point. So there's definitely going to be people that are going to continue in the traditional model for some time. But I think that we've reached the crux of it where people are having to shift over. I think that's right.
Yeah. One final thing I want to mention about retail and runway experiences. I know ByReveal did a retail experience with Intel. I'm not exactly sure what they were selling, but I heard the founder on the Fashion is Your Business podcast last week, very brilliant woman, talking about this kind of hybrid pop-up big data architecture experience that they can do for brands. And I know that they were doing something with Intel's technology, incorporating their sensors and heat mapping and things like that. Do you have any insight into like the sort of like in-store experience?
I mean, I'm glad you brought that up. So what they were actually showing was the Intel retail sensor platform is kind of what they were showing off. And again, to go back to talking about the back end of things, I think that is a really compelling use of technology. And the Intel retail sensor platform uses RFID, which I think is interesting because it's an older technology. It's not one of these kind of like new, like woohoo sci-fi kind of things. RFID has been used in retail for a long time, but they're changing the way that they're using it. And they're starting to make a really compelling case for being able to collect data in real time in retail environments, which is not something that has been done very well or had wide adoption. Beacons had a moment kind of trying to do similar things, and there was a lot of things that didn't really work out. And so a lot of retailers tried using beacons or iBeacons and dropped it. But what Intel is trying to do is use RFID to fulfill those same kinds of promises. And that to me is really compelling and really interesting because when we're actually talking about the in-store experience, we're again talking directly to consumers and helping to make their experience the best that it can possibly be.
Yeah. And also I think shaping a narrative around a technology, because what big technology companies are really good at doing is coming out with this thing, and here's this thing, this is what it does. But the reason I guess people like you and I have jobs is because we help add some context about, okay, this is how it can be, these are the implications for retail. This is how this technology could be used. But now it seems like these larger technology companies are getting smarter and saying, okay, it's Fashion Week. We're going to show how our sensors and our technology and our modules are specifically relatable to this audience. And I think that that is also a byproduct of this collision that we're seeing in fashion and technology. It's like fashion's actually taught technology how to wrap something in a narrative and package it a little bit better so that it's accessible for people.
I think that's really well put. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So the final thing I want to talk about, and maybe this will be a shorter, you know, part of the conversation than the rest of the chats that we've had, is this idea of wearables, because it didn't seem like there was that much happening this year in terms of wearables. And I'd be interested to know your opinion about where this word wearables has gone and why the sentiment has died down and where it's going. But maybe we'll start by talking about some of the specific examples that were there. And I think all of the ones that I saw in terms of wearables were powered by Intel.
Yeah, because Intel is the official partner of New York Fashion Week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so, which is, I think, it's something that's great in a lot of ways, and also maybe makes it a little harder for some of the other technology, you know, specifically smaller technology companies to break through. But it used to be that it was newsworthy when a fashion brand had a wearable, just had a wearable.
Yes.
And so we saw things like the Mica bracelet, which was an Intel collaboration with Opening Ceremony that was sold at Barney's. And to be honest with you, I never saw one in the wild. I never saw a single person that wore it out. It was really, you know, it was something that was in stores, and I'm sure there was a few people that wore it, but it was really about press. I mean, they did so many different press releases. We have a bracelet, but we don't know what it does. And then it was like, you know, we kind of know what it does. Big, big press pushes. And now we, you know, and I feel like the fact that for so long, so many companies released prototypes and called them products, that has started to be really detrimental to what's happening in the world of wearables. So it's not notable anymore that somebody just has a wearable. And even some of the collaborations that we were looking at, like the Tome, they had a wrist-based wearable, and they had a handbag that did some stuff, and the Fila and Baja East shoes, they didn't really say what they did. They're like, here's a product. This is what it looks like. It's powered by Intel.
Yeah. But I think going back to that idea of honesty that you touched on earlier about like who is Fashion Week for, I think that there was more of an honesty as well with this is a prototype. Like with the handbag, I think that they were very upfront with it's a proof of concept handbag. It senses your environment and can let you know if the barometric pressure or the toxins in the environment are like to a point where you should not be in that environment. Yeah. But it's not for sale. This is not see now, buy now. This is, hey,
it's
we're going to.
Statement.
Yeah, yeah. And that's great. A handbag should be a statement, but.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. I mean, I think you're right. And I think that's only a good thing. But there's some behavior that I haven't seen changed either, where it's like, here's a product. We don't know what it does. It's wearable. It has sensors. You know, it's like, that is not actually that interesting anymore. And so it's not getting press. That doesn't get press. And that's fine, because there are so many interesting, compelling, and important things that are happening in our world that we don't need to be inundated with press releases about prototypes that mm-hmm. don't actually function.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. And then just to explain a little bit, in case people didn't see, the shoe was a collaboration between Fila and Baja East, and is powered by Intel's Curie. Cool looking shoe. The idea was that it had lots of sensors in it and could tell you, I'm assuming, the same thing that a Fitbit could tell you, probably a little bit more about like cadence and speed. There seems to be a lot of development, research and development going into this idea of like the shoe of tomorrow. So I'd be interested to see the next steps.
Yeah, well, let's actually talk about this a little bit, because I think that the fact that maybe wearables aren't rising to the surface as much when it comes to press and buzz can be a really good thing for the world of wearables, because I think in some ways it's becoming normalized.
Yeah.
So I've said for a long time that in order for wearable technology to work, the technology has to disappear, and it has to be products that people want to wear regardless of how it functions.
Yes.
And we're starting to see more beautiful things. At the same time, what we're starting to see is that consumers are looking at a product, a piece of clothing or an accessory, and they want it to have more functionality to it. So if you're looking at a beautiful $800 leather handbag and a beautiful $800 leather handbag that can charge your phone, that's the one you're going to choose. Mm-hmm. And so I think that what we're seeing is that it's wearables and the idea of wearable tech is starting to fly under the radar, which I think and hope that it means that people are starting to get used to the idea and will start demanding a little bit more functionality out of the things that they're buying. Well, same with the shoes. You know, I mean, there's a million wearables that can, you know, track your steps. I mean, everything does that by default these days. And the, you know, Nike's had their little sensors that you can put in shoes to track your steps forever. But what's happening is that it's actually being built in the product. And we are starting to see that some of the prices of things are coming down a little bit closer to the price of a product that doesn't have technology embedded, which as that continues to happen, it's going to make the adoption of these different pieces of wearable tech really skyrocket, I predict.
Yeah. And as the price comes down, makes it more realistic for consumers, we're also seeing this integration with fashion. So it's not like, okay, do I get the wristable that counts my steps but is ugly? Or do I get the one that's beautiful and I want to wear it even if it's off and also does all of the things that it's supposed to do as a wristable sort of thing? So people aren't having to compromise anymore between the fashion and the sort of function of wearable technology. So
And just to really talk about from an industry perspective, one of the most important things that has to happen in order for that vision that we're talking about to come true is that there has to be standards that these things are built on. There is this ecosystem that in some ways is the wild, wild west. And a lot of people are inventing things from scratch and starting new things. And in order for there to be wide adoption, we can't have, okay, here is my pair of pants and my pair of pants has an app and they can't be washed, you know, until I take the sensor out of it and I have to make sure to plug them in at night. And then here's my bracelet that has another app and I have to also plug that in at night and a different kind of charger. And, you know, I have to remember that I engage with this thing this way and that thing that way. And that's ridiculous.
And they're all relying on your Bluetooth. So your cell phone bill is out the roof.
Right. Yeah. And your phone battery is dead within like an hour of leaving the house. Like that kind of stuff can't happen. And right now everything is kind of happening in these different walled gardens. And so some of the important things, again, behind the scenes, to be able to actually have some standards and some methodology that's shared between these different wearable devices is going to become increasingly important because we want our wearable technology to serve us and not the other way around.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Liza, thank you so much for taking the time today.
I love talking to you.
Yeah, I love talking to you too. You're so insightful and I love the back and forth that we have. How can people follow you and stay in touch with what you're doing with Third Wave Fashion?
Thanks. Yeah. So our website is third spelled out T-H-I-R-D, thirdwavefashion.com. And we're on Twitter and Instagram with the numeral 3, third. You can find information about our beautiful print magazine on the website, subscribe to our newsletter. And I can personally be found on Twitter at Liza K, L-I-Z-A-K. And I'm excited to hear from people because I think this stuff is really interesting.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Liza.
Thank you.
That was my exchange with Liza Kindred of Third Wave Fashion. I could talk to her for forever. If you like what you heard today, please share this podcast and leave us a 5-star rating. You can check out and subscribe to all past episodes of the Electric Runway podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Stitcher, as well as on electricrunway.com. If you want to stay up to date with industry news and developments, check out our new YouTube series, Fashion Tech Fridays. It's exactly what it sounds like, a roundup of the week's news in fashion tech every Friday on YouTube. For your daily dose of fashion tech, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at electric_runway. You can also follow me personally at Amanda Costco and Girl About Toronto on Instagram. One final thing, if you're in Toronto, I encourage you to check out the Fashion Tech Forum at Startup Fashion Week. It's October 6th, hosted at Uberflip in Liberty Village, and yours truly will be moderating a panel on the future of fashion and technology with a number of leading thinkers in this space, including Frank and Oak investor and board member Roger Chara and Mario Christian of Daniel Christian Tang. You can find all of our community events from around the world listed in the events section on electricrunway.com. To let me know about an event, get in touch. I'm Amanda at electricrunway.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, here's looking towards the future. Music from today's episode by Jeff Kale.